All right, welcome everyone to another episode of the Jake Dunlap Show. We are very excited that you joined us. If you haven't tuned in, this is the show where we talk to celebrities, thought, and industry leaders to really discover their journey to success. I am super excited that you're joining us. This show is like no other, I can promise you that. You might laugh, you might cry, but you will definitely leave inspired and gain a whole new level of insight into those people that you follow, love, and admire.
So hope everyone is having a great start to their week. Dang, we're over halfway done with the year. For a lot of people, the quarter just ended. For a lot more people, the quarter's ended now. Wow, time is really flying this year. You know, you add in all the funness with everything that's happened in the economy, and you've got just this beautiful, beautiful, everything set up here. You've got a really interesting, you know, what we're setting ourselves up for the rest of this year. So today in particular, and today is another one of these topics where I think for a lot of people, it's not, when a lot of people see this, right? And you see this topic of what's the number one area sales organizations bleed money, tech stack. I think a lot of people, if you're an individual contributor, you're a frontline leader. I also got this new mic stand, which is just great. I can just like put it on, I wheel it away. So that's also been a big blessing. Shout out, Chris Walker gave me inspiration to go and grab this versus my sitting one. Is tech stack for a lot of people. I'll just tell you this. If I was a sales rep today, so if any of you out there, your individual contributors, or how about your frontline leader or director or manager as well too, this is applicable for you. Understanding the power of sales technology is not optional. And what I mean by that is that I see a lot of organizations outsource their knowledge around sales tech, their knowledge around what's happening, how these tools are evolving to other people. And I can tell all of you, and especially if you're on the front lines, frontline leader or frontline manager, you guys need to become experts at these tools. You can't just sit here and say, well, I don't know how to use a tool. Like, you've got to figure it out. So again, I'm just telling all of you, it's a really important part here of the process. This is pretty cool. They got this networking thing over here on the side now on the event. So feel free, do me a favor, comment, let me know where you're from. Let me know your role, what type of audience that we have today. So please toss it in there. We've got people getting deals done in the chat, which I love. So today I'm going to talk about your sales tech stack. And I'm really going to talk about here, I'm just going to put it in here. Put kind of some of my talking points in here. Here you go. So this is what I'm going to cover. So if this is interesting for you, then you are in the right place. So again, if you're listening right now, you're not driving, make sure to drop in the comments your, who you are, where you're calling in from / listening in from. I'm excited. It's Monday. Let's go. I just finished up. The other reason I'm really excited for this topic is I just finished up a 5-day fast. So it's this fast mimicking diet. So I still was able to eat some food. But today I had real food. I had it's all like soups, olives, and nuts. And so, anyway, it's called ProLon. If any of you are interested, I lost in 5 days, I lost almost 8 pounds. So 5 days, 8 pounds later, holla at ProLon. What's up, BJ? How are you, man? I think we hooked up at the MSP event. So hope you're doing great, man. Let's connect. Or no, it wasn't. I think there's somebody else, but appreciate you tuning in, man, as a part of this. So again, the name of the fast I just did, fast is called ProLon. And I highly recommend this to anyone who's looking to it is, Becca, it's 100% vegan as well too. So just so you know, what's up, Boston's in the house. So what's up, Michael Katz? Hope you're doing great, man. So, all right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about sales tech. Yes, that's right. I thought we met up at MSP. Hey, send me a DM as well, too. We're getting ready to do a dinner here in Austin on August 3rd. This is anybody listening. I've got some other events going on. I'll share later. But we are doing a dinner in Austin on the 3rd of August. So DM me. Anybody in Austin, DM me. We'll hook you up with the details. We've got a dinner, and we've also got a happy hour the next day. So that's what's up. So I'm going to talk about these things around the sales tech. Again, as you're joining us, just make sure to kind of drop in, you know, where you're joining us from. I can see your role usually as a part of this. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is like buying sales tech. Okay. So the first point here, again, is anyone, what I try to do here is I try to kind of tag it timeline for you all. So if you want to come back and like tag in your head of sales operations, if any of you want to tag in your sales operations person, now would be a good time. Buying tech in the first place is the first problem. There's a lot of firsts in there, but you know, there we go. Okay, what do I mean by that? Here's how a lot of companies buy tech: is the sales, the SVP of sales or sales operations goes to a conference, talks to a peer, has steak and wine, or plays golf with somebody, and says, "Oh my gosh, we have to buy Gong." No offense to my folks at Gong out there, but Gong is, you know, kudos to them because it is certainly the tool the most that I've seen that's like had that impact where people are like, oh yeah, we have to have Gong. And then you go and look at how they're using it. Like they're just using call recording. So anyway, shout out to Gong. It's a great tool. The number one issue is that it's not that you don't need a tool and these other tools aren't interesting. It's when do you need it? And the unfortunate part is many sales leaders do not have logistics or, you know, project management backgrounds. And I'll just give you all a logistics story here. There's a great book, like anyone interested in a non-boring book on logistics. I know this sounds, you're like, Jake, it's not possible. It's called The Goal. This is an oldie but goodie. It will really help to put this in context for you. But it's basically about throughput. And so for any of you, the first problem in buying tech is you shouldn't buy it probably, or make sure that you're solving the right problem. And so it's called the theory of constraints. Okay, theory of constraints. Maybe we can even link to it if someone wants to hop in, is the first step. So where is my team stuck? Okay, that is what you do. So you look at the whole system from lead to cash or lead to renewal, however you want to measure your customer journey, okay? And then what you do is you say, where is the bottleneck? I want to be very clear here. There's only one bottleneck. There's no, the word bottlenecks is a fake word. There's no such thing as bottlenecks. There are other things that are slowing you down or other things that are stopping you, but there can be only one, Highlander style, cue Highlander video, there can be only one bottleneck. It's just like another favorite stat of mine, if you didn't know this, is the word priorities was invented in the 1920s or 30s or something, because guess what? You can only have one priority. And so priority used to be a singular word until 100 years ago, and we made it a, you know, multiple. So everyone out there, think theory of constraints, analyze your system and fix the one bottleneck. Look for technology that can help you there and then look at the other pieces in the system. So there you go. That's kind of one kind of point that I want to call out as a part of this. So the next piece I want to talk about is adoption. Okay. So actually, you know what? I'm going to call it implementation. Implementation is second reason. And I'm going to talk about who should own it and those types of things as well too. Is the second reason for leading sales. Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go. Becca hopping in with the goals. There you go. Go check it out. Goal, like it's basically a fictional book about logistics. So just if that tells you anything what it's about, bleeding sales tech, money and impact. Okay, implementation. I'm just going to tell you, everyone right now, and this is, look, we are the largest implementation partner for many of the largest tech companies you know. We will do 300 plus sales tech integrations and implementations easy this year. So I know sales tech. Like I know sales tech. I know the integration. I know it works. I know it doesn't. I can tell you this. There is a 90%. I want to go to 100% on this, but I'm going to say 90%. And feel free to give me a clap or something if you agree, or a thumbs up if you've seen this. That when the salesperson says it's so easy to get started, they are completely full of shit. In 90% of the cases, what's happening with implementation is your champion or whoever on your team is buying this stuff is being told, no, it's easy. our customer success team will take care of everything. We'll take care of everything, right? We'll go ahead and we'll take care of the implementation. We'll make sure it's perfect, etc. And you're like, oh, okay, this must be very easy to get started. And then what happens? Well, my friends, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the movie for you of what actually happens. Is you fast forward, okay, see a lot of thumbs up coming up here now. Is when you fast forward, you're 60 days in and you're like, we still haven't gone live. and with a big company, you know, you're maybe 4 or 5 months in and you're like, why aren't we seeing the ROI? And so I can tell you, having a thoughtful deployment plan, I'm going to get into that later, is the next big issue that people need to really think about, is not just where does this fit, but also, do I have a proper deployment plan? And finally, I'm going to get into this one. And this is going to be the tricky one. This is the one that I see. And that's why I started the conversation with this, topic is frontline leaders matter the most. Boom. This is where most of you are struggling, is that the frontline leaders, dude, I hate this. I got a brand new MacBook and the new MacBook doesn't have the touch bar. So to do emojis, it's like a very big pain in the ass as a part of this. So, but don't worry for you all, I will put emojis in there just so you know. So for everyone out there, we spend so much time training the frontline teams. And I love it. Becca, shout out. If you guys don't follow Becca or Scaled, Becca is the genius behind our Scaled LinkedIn following. So please follow Becca. Tell her she's doing a great job because she is. There's a great stat she pulled here. And let me, this is why. So you check this stat out. 82%, here you go. 82% of reps say when they have a question, they go to their manager first over the knowledge base. So therefore, the most important person in any technology deployment is the frontline leader. They don't need, I think every frontline leader should get certified in your core tools. I do. I think it's the future that if you don't know, it's like a sales leader or manager who knows how to manipulate Salesforce and get the data out that they want versus someone who doesn't. I mean, the effectiveness of that manager who can just do it themselves is massive. Same thing with Outreach or SalesLoft or any of those tools as well. You need to know the tools, but I am telling you this, they at least need to know the basics. They at least need to know the mechanics of it. And so if you're thinking about Jake, hey, we want to do this, we want to go out, because most of these companies are lying to you. They're straight up telling you, oh, it's so easy to get started. Oh, it takes whatever. Bullshit, it does not. And so what happens is, all the trainings are really, really, really focused on the end user and not focused on the frontline leaders. When we do deployments, we have the frontline leaders go through the trainings first, and then we have the reps go through it. So then the frontline managers get the vernacular, they know what's happening, etc. Yeah, BJ, exactly. Frontline leader drives adoption. And that's the same for like sales methodology and process as well too. Right. So just think about it. If managers don't have proper training themselves, they're going to give reps the wrong answer. Or even worse, and I know all of you out there know what I'm talking about, they'll be like, yeah, just go back to doing what you were doing. Yeah, forget it. We've got a client. I won't mention their name right now. They've got 100 something SDRs. And, the team is nervous about deploying change. And the interesting part about it is even whenever we're bought in on change, we're like, yeah, we know we need to change. The status quo to leave that is terrifying. And so what's happening is your managers out there, your sales leaders and sales managers out there are basically undermining the usage because of a lack of knowledge, not because they don't necessarily believe in the tool. They don't have enough information to believe in the tool. And so again, I want a lot of you to think about that in particular. So those are the three reasons why I see tech adoption fail, right? So number one is, are we buying the right tech to solve the right problem in the first place? Number two, we actually believe people when they say the implementation is easy. And because here's the thing, the technical implementation is easy. It is easy. You just plug it into Salesforce, it's, takes however long, or HubSpot or whatever you use it, and go. But the real deployment is a change management exercise. It's a change. It's not a technical issue. It's a change issue. And that goes into kind of the crux of what I want to talk about today, which is, you know, who should own technology adoption and how do you make sure you get the most of it? And so this is where really I want to spend my time talking to all of you. For those of you who are joining us, if you're brand new to this as well, please feel free to drop in as you're joining. Hey, where you're joining us from, you know, like a radio show, where are you calling in from? You know, oh, look at Susan from Albuquerque. So, and then last but certainly not least is the frontline managers, right? So for all of you out there, those are the three things. Before you buy a piece of technology, those are the three things that you have to do. You have to make sure you're solving the right problem. You have to make sure that you have a real deployment plan, not an implementation plan, because the implementation is easy. I'm actually going to write it. That's a good idea for a post too. Implementation versus deployment. Ooh, that's good. So deployment plan, not an implementation plan. And three is frontline leaders. Okay. So if you do those things, you're gonna have a higher likelihood. So let's talk a little bit more about who should be in charge of sales technology adoption. Okay. For those of you out there, sir, for those of you listening, I've had like 50 or 60 people kind of pop in or pop out. I'd love to hear from you. Who do you think should own the sales tech adoption? Who do you think? Should be the reps, manager, sales ops. I don't care. You can put in whoever you want. Right. So who do you think owns adoption of the sales technology at your company? Right. So I'll take a little in there. So there we go. Let's see. Ken Frampton popped in. For a former training manager, we wanted to measure behavioral change, not just knowledge transfer. I love that. Not involving the frontline leaders at the tip of the spear is a failure of your change management effort, period. Ken, everyone give Ken's comment a like there. That was a strong one. It's so right. And we just see this. We see this in small organizations, big organizations, the same. All right. BJ says the manager should be involved as a part of this. Feel free, again, if you guys have any other ideas of who you think should be the person who owns technology adoption. So I'll start with sales ops and why we shouldn't blame sales ops as a part of this. Like, I feel like what happens is, just so you guys know, maybe to pull the curtain back a little bit, usually here's what happens with sales ops is a business unit leader, and this doesn't always happen. I'm just telling you what happens sometimes. A business unit leader comes to sales ops and says, just going back to the very beginning of what I was talking about, which is, Jake, I saw this tool. Can you please go take a demo? I mean, as a CEO, I'm not saying I'm not guilty of that with my own team, but they're like, yeah, go take a demo. Go figure it out. And then you think, you're like, well, shit, does my boss want me to buy this thing? And it's not really like a thought through process, right? And so understand that a lot of times sales is ops is there's two things. That one, I'm just going to toss both these in here. One, sales ops hasn't created a real roadmap, to eliminate bottlenecks. Or two, maybe they have a roadmap to eliminate the bottlenecks. They don't have a seat at the table or a proper implementation. So this is it. Well, we see when sales ops leads this, or deployment. When sales ops leads this, what we see is in a lot of organizations, sales ops is a reactive part of the business. Rev ops as well too. I don't care if you this is a sales ops issue, but it's a rev ops if you have a rev ops group as a part of it. So if you're out there, you've got to make sure that your sales ops team has at least a seat at the table here, that they have a seat at the table, that they're able to, actually do more than just a couple of trainings. So why do I bring that up? What I see with a lot of VPs of sales and CROs is they want things to happen quickly. And what they do then is they short circuit the change management component. Like Ken Frampton here mentioned too, they say, okay, well, we've done the trainings, we've done this stuff. now we're good to go. And it's like, guys, a one-off training or two trainings is not going to change behaviors. And so sales operations, as many times, their hands are tied. Sales operations can't necessarily do any changes or make the changes that they want, et cetera. So anyway, just some kind of like food for thought for all of you on why you shouldn't blame sales ops. Sales ops, if you want sales ops to be involved, sales ops has to make sure that you can bring suggestions to sales operations and they can work with leadership to understand what are the best tools to implement. And next, that they have a seat at the table to actually roll it out correctly. I'll tell you this, it's better to wait a month and do something right than to try to force it. You know, it's better to wait 2 months. I know in our world, we're like, well, no, it's got to happen now. I'm telling you, you will end up regretting it, right? And then the other, I guess maybe a third would be like most of these people have never implemented these tools before, right? So a lot of these sales operations people, actually, that's a third. I need to put that in there because that is a big one. Three, haven't implemented these tools before or only 1 to 2 times. So that's the other one there. So if any of you are watching this on replay, I mean, you can just check out the comments in there and you'll get a lot there. And feel free, if y'all have questions, you know, this is my bad. Usually I open it up for questions early. I'm going to keep kind of going through this for another, probably call it 15, 20 minutes or so, because it's definitely something I'm passionate about. And I believe this is the future, meaning what I think is going to happen as we come out of this next economic uncertainty is people are going to say, look, you got headcount over here. I can't necessarily increase headcount. So figure out how to get your team more productive. And that's where technology is going to come in. I'm telling you all already, this is what's going to happen. People are going to, again, we're going to try to do, instead of just saying, how do you get to your number? You add more people. Instead, we're going to say, how do we get these people more productive? And as we come out of this next economic downturn, I 100% guarantee you, sales technology is going to be at the heart of that. So just something for a lot of you to think through. Okay, so your sales operations team hasn't implemented these tools. Well, why does that matter? Because chances are, and you know, it's interesting, I did a poll last week. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. I did a poll on bringing in outside experts to implement, and it's kind of wild. Like people are just like, yeah, maybe. And it's like, dude, your people have never done this before. Why would you expect them to be able to go and implement something that they've never done before? And so we did a, let's see here. 35% of people said they didn't know it existed. So I'll share my screen real quick here to show you guys this. If you guys didn't see this, feel free to add your own 2 cents to it. Share screen. You can like triple see me. That's great. There you go. Should be able to see my screen now. Still see me. That's not what you want to see. There you go. Okay, cool. So you can see here. Let me see if I can zoom in on this a little bit for you. There we go. So, you know, why sales teams stop bringing in outside specialists. So for those of you who don't know, we do this at Scaled as well too. But, you know, people have this preconceived notion, right? 65% of people are like, we need full-time people. Even though your people have never done it before, they won't get our culture. They won't get our industry. My friends, the crazy part about this is about change management, not your industry. All these things are important, and a good consulting or a good expert partner can help you with all of this. And so to me, this is just wild. It's like 35% of people didn't even know firms like ours existed. We do. And then the other 65 are like, yeah, I know they do. And you know, what I said here was that, you know, marketing uses all kinds of outside experts. Marketing has figured it out, guys. Marketing has realized that you can't be an expert at everything. And it's kind of silly to expect your team to be an expert at everything. And so when you've got sales operations people that haven't implemented the tool or done it multiple times, by God, like go get them some help. And again, I'm not saying that, go work with one of our competitors. I really don't care. I want to see you guys implement the tech correctly. BJ said domain expertise is overrated. I think as long as you understand how to solve problems for people, it can definitely be overrated for sure. So there you go. Why does marketing use all these specialists, et cetera? Well, it's pretty simple, y'all, because I live in Texas now, so I say y'all. Even though I grew up in Missouri, we didn't really say y'all there. But the reason is because they can't be expected. You know what I mean? You can't be expected to know everything about everything, right, as a part of this. So let's say, so how do we think about getting frontline leaders more involved? Let me pull back up my notes here. So the key is that the real true solve for this. So how to stop bleeding money, other than what I mentioned before. So right, step one to stop bleeding money is make sure you're picking tools that solve problems. That's no brainer, right? Obviously, as a part of this. So that's number one. Number two is if you don't have a true, call it, deployment plan, right, you're going to fail as well. So let's say you've made a plan, and that's where I'm going to kind of hit on. So you've analyzed it, you've picked the tool or tools that you think you should implement. Now I'm just going to spend a little bit of time here talking about how do you actually kind of like work together as a part of this. Also, I'm going to drop this in here too. If you all next week, make sure to join me on Thursday. I dropped the link in here too. We're going to talk about further how to get more adoption and ROI. Brandon Jones on our team leads our technology managed service effort. Brandon's going to be talking about really, we did a webinar before talking about what tech to use at each step. And this webinar, we're going to talk about how do you make sure that your people use it. So these are some really important things to think about. What's up, Jason? Jason from Orem's in the house. If you guys don't know Orem is a fantastic, cool tool. Any of your teams that are dialing should check out Orem. It's a really great tool. Very important to look at the customer solutions, consultant reviews, and evaluating. Definitely agree software spend is small compared to headcount. Yep, 100% agree, Jason. So make sure to give Jason's comment a like. Love it. Cool. So if you want, make sure copy and paste, tune into this event that we're doing next Thursday. We're going to go deep on adoption, but I'm going to give you kind of a cheat sheet right now. So step one is, based on your team size, is think about, instead of thinking about an implementation date. So this is just general advice for all of you, but it plays the best here. Never think of go live date. Doesn't matter. Always focus on when we need to see value. Okay. Right. So instead of communicating up like, okay, we're hoping to go live by blah, it's a backwards way to think about it. When you think about it of like, hey, when do we need to see value from this product? When do we need to see return from this? That's how you should be evaluating, because then what you'll do is you'll think backward on the business case. How do I make sure we get value? How do I make sure we get power users, right? Right? Because the goal is to go from, you know, not using to, you know, to kind of using to power user. And so think about, do you have a plan to do that? That, my friends, is going to have to involve the frontline leaders. So what do I mean? So a lot of best-in-class companies, what we see them do is they might look at a deployment, even if it's a smaller one, as, you know, at least a two-month period post-go-live, at least 1 to 2 months. And then every 2 weeks, you're having reinforcement sessions. What's the 201 on this tool? What's the 301? You're getting people to share stories from the field. What's working? What's not working? Right? So again, like, you know, minimum, think 2 months post go live to see real adoption. So make sure you're building a plan that takes that into account, right? Make sure, if I can spell minimum right, make sure you're building a plan that takes this into account. You're not, too many companies are too focused on the go live date. Go live date is garbage. Go live date does not help you. A go live date simply helps you to know, okay, when does that thing need to happen so we can see value by Q4, right? As opposed to we go live and then, because I call it the difference between kind of like working something backward versus working it forward. Working it backward is always easier. It's easier to understand as well too. So just some things to think about here. So, all right, what else I think will be kind of like helpful for you? So the other piece, so we built a 2 month plus deployment plan now. So we've got a deployment plan that lasts at least 2 months from go live with reinforced pieces. And number two is make sure, again, you have a manager onboarding process first. So we've got a minimum. And then like, here's the thing, always train leaders first and make sure you bring them in during the last stages of the deal, of the, we'll call it like partnership or like vendor selection process. Why? Frontline sales leaders love to feel like they have their fingerprints on something. Vendor vetting. Okay. If you don't do this, if frontline leaders don't like to have things thrust on them, they're like, please, like frontline sales leaders in particular, like, do not just tell me what to do. You don't know my job. You don't know what I'm going through. So don't push this shit on me. And so I'm telling you, if you bring them along for the journey, you're going to get a lot more, you know, call it buy-in and support as a part of that. So those are really the two big things that I want you to think about. If you're trying to stop the bleed, so if you want to stop the bleed in your sales tech stack, I want you to do this. I want you to go back and rebuild your deployment plan. It's okay. We do it all the time. We have clients that come to us, they have 7 or 8 months in and they're like, it's turned into this like Frankenstein. Like it's a disaster. I have a call here later today with a company that's bought every tool you can imagine. They're like, Jake, a lot of leaders don't know. They're just like, it's like an inkling. It's like, I think we're not using these right, but we need to kind of like see what we need to do. So for a lot of you out there, just think of that, think of your implementation and always think of what's my 2 month post, at least 2 month post. Again, if your team are like 3 or 4, maybe it's like 30 days, right? So maybe if it's a big team, it's 90 or 120 days. Yes, exactly. That's right. Adoption rates and, you know, again, integrating it into their day-to-day, right? Again, is the thing I'd add. It's like we're making sure that they're using it as a consistent, we're feeding that data. That's where sales ops can feed that data, the frontline leaders, assuming you've got the frontline leaders bought in, and then you can, you know, kind of take it from there. So, and then number two is, again, train your leaders on the tech first. All right. If you want to go back, you've already invested. Let's say you invested in Gong, you invested in outreach. I'm telling you right now, your sales leaders do not know how to coach to Gong. They don't. No one ever taught. Very, very few organizations have taught their sales leaders how to actually leverage Gong to not just listen to recordings or speed it up to 1.5 times, which is, I know, why a lot of people want to use it. They've also taught you that you got to teach them the why. Hey, guys, this is when you're going to use this in your day-to-day. It's not just like, hey, here's a tool, you figure it out. Outreach or sales off. Outreach. Guys, here's the mechanics of this. Here's what you should be looking for. Here's the insights you as a leader should be looking for. Train your leaders on how to get the insights from the tool themselves. RevOps or sales ops cannot feed everything. Sales leaders have to have a basic understanding. I think they should be certified, candidly, but if you don't want them to take the time, that's on you. Because if they're certified, then they really know the nuances of like, wow, we could do this and this and this. And you're not relying on sales operations to do it all. So that's the key. That's what I got, right? So if you want to stop the bleed, this is how to do it. And, you know, I'm happy to, if you want, I'm going to copy and paste a couple of things in here. This Thursday, sign up. I'm doing a webinar with my friends over at Sales Readiness Group, CEO Ray down there, where we're going to talk about recession-proofing your prospecting. So how should you be pivoting? It reminds me of March and April of 2020 when I was on the phone with hundreds of VPs of sales talking about, dude, what do we do? How do we pivot this thing, right, et cetera. So if your team is trying to get better at prospecting, definitely do that. Like I said, if you have a few questions, feel free to drop them in while I'm kind of wrapping up. If not, we'll wrap up. And then last is, again, this Thursday, me and Brandon Jones talking and going deeper on adoption. Right. So today we're kind of teeing up this topic. I'm giving you some insights. And then Brandon and I are really going to dissect that exact kind of manager deployment plan. It's such a critical part of your job that, again, all of you out there, I really, really, really encourage a lot of you to really think about upping your knowledge of your sales tech so you can get the most out of it. So even if your organization is botching the deployment, you can still get the most out of the tools because at the end of the day, you're responsible for your own growth. All right. So that's what's up. If you've watched this, I promise you, you have got some actionable takeaways. And yeah, I look forward to seeing everyone on Thursday. You can always DM me. Let me know what's going on with you. Happy to answer any questions you have. And my friends, we will see you on Thursday on the webinar talking about prospecting in uncertain times. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to another extremely fun and interesting episode. I thought it was fun and interesting, so I hope you did too, of the Jake Dunlap Show. Really great just breaking down everything that makes people who they are, the success, the trials and errors, and I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and make sure, more than anything, to go over to jakedunlap.com. That's where you're going to stay up to date on all the latest guests, additional details, prep notes. We're going to be sharing everything on jakedunlap.com. So go ahead, go over there. You can subscribe there as well too. And we will see you next week on the Jake Dunlap Show.